nesta vida. Dá sempre para mudar a história. Diz-me o que se tem passado no teu desvio de trajetória.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome or welcome back to Desvio de Trajetória, the podcast where we explore the winding paths that shape who we are and the connections that move us forward. I'm Elena, your host, and I am all smiles today. That's right. My podcast has its own soundtrack now. How exciting. And I owe all that to my lovely, awesome buddy, Cristiano Cebola. Thank you for helping me out, my friend. I am so grateful and happy. It is in Portuguese, so if you're thinking that you can't quite understand it, that's fine. For those of you who do, what do you think? If you enjoy what you hear, the music and the words, don't forget to like, follow, leave a review. And most importantly, share the episode with someone who might need it. And hey, I would love to connect with you outside the podcast too. You can find me on Instagram at Elena Isabel Santos or on LinkedIn with that very same name. Let's keep the conversation going. And remember, new episodes drop every other Wednesday at 1 p.m. Lisboa time. Today, we start with a quote, one that's followed me for years, from presentations to personal reflections, one that I have never forgotten ever since I first heard it. And coincidentally, just these past few weeks, other people have been quoting it to me. It was originally said by Maya Angelou. I've learned that people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. And that is everything. Because what lives on isn't always the strategy, the plan, the PowerPoint deck. It's how we made others feel in the room, or on the Zoom, or even in silence. This episode picks right where we left off after our conversation on mentorship. Because behind every great mentor is a great communicator. And behind every great leader is someone who knows how to connect, not just inform. Today, we're talking about feelings, about emotional intelligence, nonverbal communication, trust, and truth, about the kind of leadership that isn't loud, but is deeply felt. Let's go. Have you ever been in a room full of people and no one says anything, but everything is being felt? I remember a meeting in my early management days. Big stakes. I had all the data, all the slides, the point lines up. I thought I nailed it, but the room felt cold. Not because of the AC cold, emotionally cold. And then someone said, "This makes sense, but I just don't feel it." That hit me hard. First, because I am a proud person. Second, because they were right. And that moment, very simple, very awkward, taught me one of the most important lessons in leadership. Facts inform, but feelings move people. We talk so much about what to say and when to say it, but we often forget communication isn't just verbal. It's tone, it's presence, it's the pause before you answer. It's the look in someone's eyes when they say, "I'm fine," and you know they're really not. We've all been in rooms where someone said all the right things and still left us cold. And we've also been in rooms where someone barely spoke and yet made us feel safe, seen, understood. In trying to be professional, I left out the part that makes me, me, my heart. So I came back. And this time I spoke from emotion, from instinct, from why this work mattered to me. And everything shifted. People leaned in, energy changed. And yes, the project was approved, and I never went back to cold rooms. Remember, logic convinces, but emotion connects. That is the power of emotional intelligence. That is the art of leadership. I lead with my emotions. That is not a weakness. That's my superpower. Because it allows me to read between the lines, to notice when someone says, "I'm fine," but their shoulders are tense, their eyes are tired. I had a colleague like that, always saying they were okay, but fidgeting with her ring, avoiding eye contact. And I learned something throughout the years. Sometimes the most powerful listening is the one that happens without words. So here's a truth that still surprises people. As a leader, your silence speaks. How you react or don't is a message. A raised eyebrow, a rushed answer, a sigh, they all carry weight. Leadership isn't just in what you say, it's how you show up. As a leader, this has been my secret weapon. I can walk into a room and feel who is overwhelmed, who is disengaged, who needs to be asked, "Are you really okay?" This is not a soft skill. It's core human skill. Nonverbal communication carries the truth when words aren't ready yet. Now, if you want to harness this superpower of nonverbal communication, here are a few tips to get you there. 1. Tune in into body language. Pay close attention to the way people carry themselves. Are they standing tall? Are they hunched over? Is there open posture? Or are their arms crossed tightly? Body language can tell you how much about someone's emotional state, even if they're not saying anything. Look for micro expressions. These are the brief facial expressions that reveal someone's true feelings. Slight twitch of the lips, a quick narrowing of the eyes. These signals can signal stress, discomfort, or even excitement. Being able to spot these will make you more attuned to the emotional climate of a room. 3. Listen with your whole body. Nonverbal communication isn't just about observing, it's about responding with your body too. How you sit, your posture, your eye contact, your tone, these all communicate volumes. Practice using your body to reinforce your words, creating a more authentic connection with others. 4. Ask the right questions. When you sense something is off, don't shy away from asking the tough questions. A simple, "Are you really okay?" can open the door for someone to share what's been left unsaid. Your empathy and openness will make people feel heard, even without you needing to say much. 5. Be mindful of your own signals. As a leader, your nonverbal cues matter just as much as everyone else's. How you respond to challenges, manage stress, or even how you show up to work each day sends a message. You can set the tone with your demeanor, whether it's calm in the chaos or showing vulnerability when needed. For a deeper dive into how to become a super communicator in both verbal and nonverbal ways, I highly recommend Charles Duhigg's Super Communicators. In it, he explores how effective communicators tap into both the verbal and nonverbal aspects of communication to make meaningful connections and drive change. The book is packed with research and insights that can help you level up your ability to truly connect with others. Remember, nonverbal communication isn't just about reading the room. It's about creating space for the unsaid to be heard and building trust in ways that words alone never could. Now let's talk about honesty, because great communication isn't just about being nice. It's about being clear, and clarity does often take courage. I remember a moment when I had to give tough feedback to someone I really admired. I spent hours overthinking how to say it, how to soften it, how to make it land. But in the end, I went with telling them the truth, with kindness, with context. And you know what? They thanked me for not sugarcoating it, as it really helped them. We often underestimate people's capacity to receive truth, especially when it comes from a place of care. And that's the balance. Maybe that's what some people would describe as tough love. Even though these days we often hear from people, "Oh, I'm just very honest and direct," as an excuse to be mean. But the reality is that honesty on its own, without empathy, can easily come across as harsh. And that is not leadership. That's just bluntness without care. Here's the thing. It's not enough to just be honest. Honesty should always be paired with empathy, especially when giving feedback. When we deliver feedback without considering the emotional impact on the other person, we risk creating an environment of fear or resentment, even if our intention was to help. So, how can you ensure that you're truly being empathetic in your feedback? Here are a few tips. 1. Start with the person, not just the problem. Before you dive into what needs to be improved or changed, make sure the person knows you see them as more than their actions or mistakes. Acknowledge their efforts, their strengths, and the context of their work. For example, you might say, "I really value how committed you are to this project, and I can see how much time and energy you've invested." And then add to it, don't just use the word "but" in between, because that ruins the whole thing. 2. Use I statements, not you statements. Using I statements helps you express your feelings and concerns without sounding accusatory. Instead of saying, you didn't manage this well, try saying, I noticed some challenges with this task, and I think we can find a way to make it easier next time. This shift in language makes the feedback less personal and more collaborative. 3, acknowledge their feelings. When giving feedback, take a moment to consider how the other person might feel. It's important to validate their emotions and show that you understand how they might be reacting. For instance, you could say, I know this feedback might be tough to hear, and I appreciate how open you are to receiving it. Acknowledging their feelings helps soften the delivery and makes them more likely to be receptive. And don't ever say, you shouldn't feel that. If the person is vulnerable enough to tell you how they feel, acknowledge that too and build from there. I've learned that the hard way with one of my direct reports who called me on doing that. I thanked her for it. I became more self-aware and understood how important this acknowledging of the other person's feelings is. 4, be specific and constructive. General feedback can feel vague and even disheartening. Instead of saying you need to do better, provide clear examples of what needs improvement and how they can go about it. For example, in the last presentation, I noticed you struggled with the timing. Let's work together to refine the pacing for next time so your points land more effectively. 5, focus on the future, not just the past. Feedback isn't just about pointing out what went wrong. It's about guiding someone toward growth. After highlighting areas of improvement, discuss the next steps or the solutions. For example, what can we try next time to improve this? Or how do you think we can tackle this together moving forward? This shifts the focus from past mistakes to future growth. 6, listen actively. Feedback should be a two-way street. When you give feedback, be ready to listen to the other person's perspective. Maybe they have insights or challenges you weren't aware of. By allowing them to speak, you show empathy and create an environment of trust. This also gives you an opportunity to adjust your feedback if you realize you misunderstood something. 7, deliver feedback in private. No one likes to be called out in front of others, and doing so can cause embarrassment, even if your intentions are good. Always aim to provide constructive feedback in a private, respectful setting. This ensures the conversation can be focused and the person feels safe to process what you're saying without feeling judged. Finally, and on a positive note, whenever possible, balance the tough feedback with encouragement. Let the person know you believe in their potential. After all, you wouldn't be giving them feedback if you didn't think they were worth it. I know you're capable of handling this. I'm here to support you. And I am confident that with this adjustment, you'll be able to take your work to the next level. How does that sound? This approach leaves them feeling empowered, not deflated. By embedding empathy into your feedback process, you're not just telling someone what they need to do better. You're showing them that you care about their growth and their well-being. You're creating a space where honesty isn't feared, but welcomed, and where people feel motivated to improve because they trust that your intentions are rooted in care, not criticism. Honesty without empathy becomes cruelty, but empathy without honesty becomes avoidance. As leaders, friends, mentors, we owe each other both. And that brings us to trust. Because communication isn't a one-time thing, it's a series of micro moments that either build trust or erode it. When I think about the best leaders I've worked with, they weren't always the most charismatic, but they were consistent. You knew where they stood. You knew they wouldn't blindside you. You knew that even in uncertainty, they'd be honest about what they didn't know. Transparency is powerful. Even just saying, I don't have the answer yet, but I'll keep you posted, can make a world of difference. And in a world full of noise and spin, clear and honest communication, that is rare. And it's magnetic. A good morning, a how can I help you, a thank you, I see you, those are things that tell someone you're safe here. You can be yourself. When I left my job after 17 years, I posted on LinkedIn, as one does. The comments, they floored me. So many people said they felt seen, supported, understood by me. And that's because I really was present with them. Not perfect, not at all, but present, emotional, honest. Now, let's dive a little deeper into what makes trust so powerful and how you can nurture it in your leadership. First, consistency builds reliability. Trust is built on reliability. It's not about grand gestures or lofty promises. It's about showing up consistently. When people know they can rely on you, even when things get tough or uncertain, trust forms. And it's not just about following through on big commitments. It's about showing up in those little moments, returning a message on time, giving feedback promptly, or simply showing up as your true self. When you're consistent in your actions and behaviors, you create an environment where people know what to expect from you, which makes them feel safe. Vulnerability is a strength. Being transparent about what you know and what you don't is a powerful tool in building trust. Leaders who hide their vulnerabilities or act as if they have all the answers can alienate others. On the other hand, admitting that you don't have all the answers, but that you're committed to finding them, builds connection. Vulnerability doesn't weaken your authority, it strengthens it. It shows that you trust the team to collaborate with you and that you respect their intelligence and insights. This openness fosters a deeper sense of mutual trust. Lead by example. Trust starts with you. If you want others to trust you, you must first demonstrate trustworthiness. That means living the values you preach, keeping promises, and being accountable for your own actions. Leaders who are willing to take responsibility even when things go wrong earn the respect of those around them. It's about leading from a place of integrity and aligning your actions with your words. Empathy fuels connection. As I mentioned earlier, empathy isn't just a soft skill. It's the foundation of trust. When people feel understood, when they feel that their challenges and perspectives are validated, trust flourishes. Take the time to listen without judgment, to ask the right questions, and to be genuinely curious about how people are feeling and thinking. This emotional connection is what makes people feel seen and valued. When you connect on an emotional level, you're not just building trust, you're creating a sense of loyalty and belonging. Be transparent, even in the hard moments. Transparency is key to trust. People will respect you more when they know you're being honest, even when the situation is difficult. Being upfront about challenges, setbacks, or tough decisions is not just about avoiding misunderstandings. It's about showing your team that you trust them enough to be real with them. By sharing information, even when it's incomplete, you invite collaboration and mutual understanding. This is how trust grows in the face of uncertainty. People will appreciate your honesty, and it will empower them to contribute with solutions, knowing they're part of the process. Appreciate the small moments. Trust isn't just built in the big meetings, as I was saying earlier. It's in the small, everyday moments. It's in the way you greet someone in the morning, the way you ask how they're doing, the way you acknowledge their effort with a simple thank you. These small acts of kindness and recognition may seem insignificant, but over time, they accumulate into something powerful. They show your team that they are valued, that their contributions matter, and that you see them as more than just employees. You see them as people. Trust takes time, but it can be lost quickly. One of the things people often overlook is how quickly trust can be lost. A single moment of dishonesty, inconsistency, or neglect can undo years of positive relationship building. So while it takes time to build, it is crucial to protect trust with everything you've got. Be mindful of how you handle mistakes, how you communicate in difficult situations, and how you treat people. If you make an error, own it and move forward with the same level of transparency and accountability. Trust is fragile, and it requires constant nurturing. Trust doesn't come from a title. When you lead with trust, you create a culture where people feel empowered to be themselves, share their ideas, take risks. That is when the real magic happens. So here's the heart of it. Leadership is not a role. It's an energy. People may forget your title, your project, your wins, but they'll remember how they felt around you. I don't remember every decision I made in 2016, but I remember being told you made a difference. I remember the butterflies before giving difficult feedback and the relief and the strength that came after. And I know people remember me, not just because I had all the answers, but because I was real, because I cried in meetings sometimes, because I asked questions from the gut, because I said the hard things with a soft voice. That is emotional leadership. That's legacy. Not what you did, how you made them feel. So here's your invitation. Think about your own communication this week. What are you saying without words? Where can you be more honest with kindness? What kind of emotional residue are you leaving behind in meetings, calls, conversations? And then reach out to that person who made you feel seen, to the one who listens deeply, to someone who needs to hear, I've got your back. And if this episode made you feel something, share it. Send it to a friend, a mentor, a teammate. Let's spread the feeling. And that is it for today's Desvio de Trajetória. Thank you for being here, for listening, for feeling this with me. If you liked what you heard, follow the podcast, leave a comment, and share it with someone who might need it. You can also find me on Instagram at Helena Isabel Santos or on LinkedIn. I'd love to hear your thoughts. And don't forget, the next episode is in 2 weeks on Wednesday. Until next time, remember, the detours, they're often the best part of the journey. Até já! Se tem passado no teu desvio de trajetória.